episode 486 of Global From Anywhere podcast, from Stripe chargeback nightmare to agentic commerce empire, building decentralized AI agents with Irv Taylor.
Welcome to Global From Anywhere podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight up actionable advice.
This week, we're doing something extra special. This interview comes straight from our very first official Global From Anywhere TV live stream pilot, happening live Friday morning Asia time on April 10th, 2026. If you're catching this later, head over to globalfromanywhere.com/TV to find out how to join the next live show and watch the full replay. Today, Mike sits down with Irv Taylor, systems architect, brand creator, former China-based Amazon seller and manufacturer who's now operating out of Detroit. Irv shares his raw journey, investing in his own factory in Yiwu, surviving a brutal Stripe chargeback freeze that nearly wiped him out, and why he's now all in on crypto, decentralization, and something he calls unified AI, a marketplace for agentic commerce, where specialized AI agents work like an open Yiwu market for intelligence.
Lisa, I walked away from this chat thinking my browser address bar might soon become a command line for agents. This one's packed with lessons on payments, supply chain, and where AI commerce is really heading.
This is a pilot show. This is another segment. So just for those, maybe this was recorded, but you're encouraged to join these live. The idea is we're recording it anyway. I wanted to have Irv on the show for a while, and then we might as well let people that want to be here live with us can be here live. But this is meant to be the podcast for the Global From Asia show. And Irv, I think you listened to the show a while back. I remember I got some feedback from you on WeChat, if I recall.
Yeah, a while back when I was in China.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you're with us, Irv Taylor, and now you're stateside and I feel like there's a lot of overlap. I feel like you and I are maybe a lot of listeners too. You're in the e-com space with Amazon. You're also in the AI agentic, and you've been in the handshake domain. So I feel like there's a lot of overlap. You want to introduce yourself for people here today?
Yeah, my name is Irv Taylor. I was in China for about 7 years. I do manufacturing. I sell to retail stores. I create brands. I did Amazon for a little bit, but I stepped over into supply chain. I opened up a factory, and then I got into the TLD space when I was building sites for my projects. And yeah, I stumbled into agentic commerce.
Cool. Yeah. I'm going to dig in a little bit on those. So you said factory warehouse. Is that I'd love to learn for myself and others. Is that for a service for others, like warehousing and supply chain, or what is it?
So initially I was outsourcing different factories in Guangzhou, Yiwu.
Yeah.
And I had enough problems with even being on the ground, just being there. I saw a lot of what I could improve if it were mine. And I had an order for one of the stores I was shipping to. And I decided to buy all the equipment and hire staff. And after that, things went pretty well until it didn't. It didn't go well because I was using Stripe for payment processing. And I had one chargeback in January. I won the chargeback because it was a false claim. But 3 months later, they decided that they thought that the algorithm said that I was going to have another chargeback in the future, even though I won the other one, and they froze my money. And in China, you got to pay everything up front for a year most times, depending on the city. And I just got through cashing out up front for the year for the factory. We just moved staff for the year. Then you got to pay their housing. And now I can't have payments. And I'm in China, and I'm like, wow. So the AI scene helps me with a lot of my supply chain issues. And then in crypto helped with a lot of the payment issues and not dealing with any aggregators, and then just doing it with HNS, with CrossMint, onboarding with the fiat. It just made things so much simpler. So decentralized is the way to go.
It is. It's early, I feel, but we need to keep pushing it ahead. And that's what we're talking about today and what you're doing. But you scare me with Stripe. Literally, my friend Luciano, he's been on the show. He's doing more and more on Stripe. And I got off of Amazon. I got off of Shopify. I got his AI vibe coding too, like his own e-com store. But now I'm still scared up because he got a chargeback and lost, even though he feels like he was correct, the Stripe or the merchant processor. I don't think it's actually Stripe, but whoever deals with a dispute or the chargeback favored the buyer. Even they said not as described, but he had documentation. I don't want to get into it. He lost. And now he's upset about losing, but he's more scared about losing his whole account. So that's what seems like it happened to you. Now, honestly, everybody, it's just so scary, right? This stuff is just so scary.
What I found for a workaround was to, one, deal directly with your bank. You want to have a relationship with them because they're going to favor you over the buyer always. And that's the thing I learned about dealing with an aggregator. So Stripe, PayPal, they're going to be aggregators. And if you have an aggregator, then basically that's their main account. And they're doing a lot of sub accounts under their main account. So they're trying to protect their account from getting flagged, which is why they end up holding everybody else's funds. I met with some payment providers at a couple of trade shows, and I was telling them, I was like, yeah, I'm not signing up because this and this. And they were like, oh, I'm the CEO. I can actually get you something separate from the riffraff. And I was like, can you really? And I was like, if that's an option, let's have a conversation. So if you talk to like the CEOs of these payment companies and tell them your problems, a lot of times they'll work with you and make sure they're not an aggregator or work directly with the bank. And if the bank, sometimes the bank goes third party, don't do that. Make sure that they're the ones doing the merchant processing for you. And then you'll have a lot more favor because then they're going to give you loans. They're going to see what you're bringing in every month. They're going to see, they're going to be, like I said, in favor of you versus the customers.
Nice. Okay. That's some insights, getting some positive hearts in the chat too. So thanks for that. I think a lot of people don't even know, right? They think their only choice is like PayPal or Stripe or whatever. But so yeah, the banks also can do the processing. That's a good one to know. All right. And then, yeah, China. So you were in Iwu, I think, right? When we were chatting, I think it was your...
Yeah, I was in Iwu for most of the time. I started out in Guangzhou, then in Iwu, then I went back to Guangzhou the last couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And now back stateside. I don't know where East Coast, West Coast, or
Midwest, Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. In the middle.
Yeah.
And so I'm just looking at my outline here. So what would you call yourself? I don't know if it's from you or AI or Anne, but systems architect. Is that what you? Is that something you call yourself?
That's accurate. Architect, a protocol builder, a brand creator, systems would probably be a good way to think and say it. I think in systems, a lot of people say.
Systems. Okay, so systems architect. Maybe that was from Anne or AI. But it does seem like a good position to be in this world we're in or entering, where AI is doing the actual work, you would say. I think the architect, it makes you think of that. What's that movie, Inception? The architect.
I kind of like the concept of architect. I met a guy in China, and he's an architect, and made me look into architects. So I was looking at this one guy, and he said, I'm able to finish a job because I know I can walk away from it and it won't fall apart. And I was like, ooh, I need to always be able to walk away from a project knowing it won't fall apart. So I take that approach when I'm taking protocols or concepts and ideas together and just creating.
Yeah, which is valuable. So let's talk about, you're working on this manufacturing platform AI infrastructure. Is that kind of what we're talking about or what you're doing?
Yeah, so it's really the supply chain. I would say if you know what Iwu Futian market is, which is like a world market, I've mirrored that for AI. So the AI directory, the AI marketplace will be where you have, if you think of the 1900s when the cars were first coming out and you had the issue with parts. There was no universal part that anybody could use to take from here to here. Everybody had their own little rig built up. So I look at agents like vehicles, and everybody's got that problem. I can open it up and I know what's going on because everybody's using the same boilerplate or whatever the case may be. So if you have a set of developers that are trained on programming handles on TLDs, and everybody's building agents from that standpoint, then the marketplace basically makes them become like the garage or the dealership. So you don't lose jobs in that sense, because now jobs are being provided because everybody has a place to go pull up and get the cars tuned up.
I'm taking a quick note here.
Oh, and that was it pretty much. And anybody can build agents and put them in the marketplace and take your skill set, which I think is a big issue because everybody is using general large language models for all purposes, but one model can't solve all purposes. So you got to bring fine tuning into the picture, which is going to bring open source into the pictures, which brings like gig economy for people who can create. If you think about Civit AI with Hugging Face models and image video gen, like basically doing that for agents, anybody can build agents for their use case in fork, mix, branch, sell. That's the idea. And that's where the food chain market kind of lays out.
Yeah, I'll just try to maybe interpret. Maybe I think some people might not follow everything there. So I'll just try to say in my simpler terms. But Yiwu, is people don't know, in China is like one of is a city, but it's got a market. I don't know the name. You said the name, but Fujian. Yeah. Even I don't know the name of it, but I've been there a few times. It's this humongous market. Like, it's basically like football fields, multiple football. I don't even know how many football fields, but it's just this. It's actually a straight line, and there's separate buildings, but there's bridges between them over the roads, and you can just keep going and going. So it's all these products, and there's little booths, and you can just buy products there, and of course ship them overseas or whatever. Or Taobao, a lot of people Taobao sellers. So you're taking that mindset or idea of that and trying and putting that into this AI world, which. The idea is, and I agree with you, I think it's a multi-agent world is another way of saying it. Yeah. Some people thought, and I feel like most experts are agreeing with the multi-agent world, but there used to be this idea that would be like one agent that would do everything for you, and you would just talk to one agent. But it's becoming clear, I think you're saying it, I'm agreeing, and I think a lot of people are agreeing that it's much more impactful to have a focused agent that knows one specific skill, or I guess we call it skill, right? And then you go to that one specific agent that's trained and knows how to do that one skill to do that one task. And so you're taking this marketplace idea that you inspired you in China, which is pretty insane and inspiring. And you're calling them like a vehicle and a garage, and the agent's a vehicle for a human or a person to use. And that you have people use those different vehicles in this garage to do different tasks.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Got it. Interesting. So looking at the list here, so that's kind of a little bit background, but we would call this agentic commerce. Is that correct? You would call this is agentic
essentially commerce. It'll turn into agentic commerce because once you got people building agents, then it rolls into anybody who sells a product can attach an agent to a product. And now I can ask my agent to go out into the marketplace and find me XYZ, and then it'll do whatever search it does and talk to whatever agents. And it has a product now has a conversation with another agent. And now, because it's decentralized, the wallets, they can send money back and forth and handle the exchange. And that transfers over into so many different things, because if you put that into, now they got, I think, Pico Claw.
Yeah.
You can put it on a Raspberry Pi now. So that's an agent talking to another device. I can tell my agent to turn my microwave on. It's getting there.
Yeah. So I'm going to maybe, because I'm also, this is the part I'm still trying to grasp. Yeah, so there's OpenClaw, which is the famous one. At least people should at least have heard OpenClaw or ClaudeBot back in the day, like a few months ago. But back in the days, we called ClaudeBot, but OpenClaw, which is still the main one I personally is still using. But then there's other forks or versions or alternatives, like you said, PicoClaw. I haven't had a chance, but you said, you can install this on a Raspberry Pi, or even I don't know about PicoClaw, but some people put it on mobile phones. So you can turn your mobile phone into an agent. I feel like I should even say what is an agent, because I feel like I don't really want to go 101, but an agent, I think still people probably don't even really know what an agent is. But an agent is, right, of LLM, like you said, which is like Grok or OpenAI or, of course, Anthropic, Claude, right? And then there's the tools. Actually, it's like NNN. If people done NNN, it's not that much different. It's like you have, you get an input for request from somebody. It goes to a LLM with tools and a memory and then an output, right? If you people know an NNN workflow, inputs from the human usually, input, LLM, tools, memory, output. Actually, I don't know, people think I'm crazy, but I like thermodynamics in college. I don't know why. I think the professor was just really good. He made it interesting, but he just said input, output, right? And then there's stuff in the middle, but you can't create something from nowhere. There's got to be, in thermo, the whole point is input equals output, and then there's a process in the middle. And so I feel like that's even true here. But yeah, so the idea is, and then I keep thinking about the Matrix, right? So I was talking to people, I try to give people these ideas, but there's the Oracle and there's Agent Smith and then there's Neo. Yeah. So Agent Smith is the agent, which is more free to move around inside the system. But then there's the program, and the program is like an app, right? And the program is what agents and humans use as somewhat of a tool or an environment. And so I feel like you need both programs and agents.
Yeah.
And then Neo is like the human, right? Or Morpheus. They're the humans used in the agents with the programs.
I love that analogy.
It is cool, right? So I think you need all of it. So yeah, all these
programs are everything. Without the programs, the agents are useless.
Exactly. That's what people don't get. I think this is a missing piece in where we are right now. People are making agents, but then they complain the agent's not doing the right thing. And I'm like, you got to give them a program to use.
Yeah.
But it's so much work because we're just building it now.
It's like the first Macs back in the day. You had to put the floppy disk in for that program to work.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But it's just still so early and it's still not so clear. But I know you and I are studying this closely, and it's agentic commerce means it. I guess it does mean buying, or commerce means buying and selling, right? So it's a little bit more specific of buying or selling for as an agent.
Yeah, I think there's the buying and selling. I think there's networking. I think there's trade. I think there's procurement. I think there's invoicing. Anything with a transaction, really.
Yeah, that's anything with a transaction. Because like domains, of course, we should chat a little bit about. So you're starting with the domain side, right?
Yeah.
So do you want to share a bit about it?
Unified AI is going to launch the AI agent handle, AI agents, AI developer, AI engineer, AI operator, vibe coder,
nice,
engineer. And a few others. So developers and agents can have a DevOps handle ecosystem that talks to each other. So some of them could be dual purpose, because an AI developer handle could be like a few inside of AI IDE, you drop down an AI developer or versus AI orchestrator, or you might even have a planner, but each one has their role, like you just talked about. But that also may be the person, that's their new link in their bio, Robert.AI developer, things like that. So I think that's important, because if you have that, you have the adoption of developers and you can help build on the ecosystem, which helps build HNS, because now the nodes have to talk to each other. Because for the agents, it's identity, like the lady mentioned with Noster. So the identity layer handshake for agents is, as you said, there's nothing else better. It's,
yeah, I think it's normal in early stage tech, but for people to not grasp it, and they're still stuck on the old thinking of a domain to be typed into a browser and showing information to a human being and the email address. And I think that is what a domain still thinks, most people think is, right? They think a domain is an email address and a blog or a website, right? But do you want to give some ideas of what a domain would be or could be in this?
Yeah. The game changer is when the address bar becomes your command line for your chat prompt. When you type in AI agent / whatever you want to happen, and then your UI turns into that output.
Nice. That's possible.
Literally.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't have to put the HTTPS. You don't have to put anything but AI agent / whatever, or whatever the TLD is.
So no dot, or is there a dot?
You don't have to put the dot. Once you do the / it automatically programs to that root layer. If you do the dot, you can do the dot, but it's not required. If you do the dot, you have to do the / but.
Okay.
There's quite a few things you can do with that, just from that programming layer.
Okay. That's the first time I heard that kind of use case, but what browser then?
It can do it in any browser now. The problem would be if you wanted to resolve, if it's not, because like right now, I think if you just use it as is, it forwards right over to whatever domain you want it to. But the programming is just basically like a JSON file and a couple of other things. But other than that, it's not too difficult.
Yeah, you're making me think. I was at Hanoi last year for ICANN. I don't know what title of their event was, but some kind of ICANN event. And I was trying to say to them, I think the browser is going to just be different in the future. So yeah. Probably could just vibe code our own browser to use, or there could just be a browser that you would do that in. Why do I need Chrome to do that?
Right. Because like, for example, with the agentic web, if you go with the concept that agents can talk to agents and then people can talk to agents, the browsers can talk to browsers. Essentially, anything can talk to a browser. So if I'm with some AI glasses on or an AI watch or something like that, I don't need the browser. If the information is being sent to me in whichever view that I can see, the browser is not necessary. Somebody told me the other day, TV remotes, you won't even need those pretty soon because you can just talk to the TV. And say, yeah, the TV will become the browser because UGC is taking over to the point where streaming is either you're watching streaming, a playback video, or that's it at this point. Photos are useless almost.
Yeah, it is. It is a whole mindset shift. And I think it takes time. A lot of us are old and we're stuck in our ways and our habits, and it's hard for us to grasp this, but it does totally make sense to me as well. Like a browser would, or actually, you know it too, right? With agents, they can't even read browser. They don't even really use a browser, right? They don't view. I know the first thing you might, I don't know about you, but first thing I try to do with an agent is go to this website and do this. That's like the first thing you want the agent to do. And then they can do it, right? They can, depending on what plugin or tool you give them, but they can remote control the browser or even your whole computer. But I think you'd agree, it's not as efficient. They're slow. I was doing it, and they burn tokens and time. So you want to share about that? Like, how do agents, like, transact or do things?
I think I want to comment to the browser thing. I think that is a great purpose for the human in the loop process. So if you know that you need to go through the approve this, approve that, if you're dealing with an IDE, then you need to step away. And now the project's on hold. But you can train a program, an agent, to approve these things that you would normally approve and say no to these things, and that's one use case. But the transactions, I think, for example, if you get an email that's got an invoice in it and you're on a flight right now, but it's time sensitive and the agent sees it, but it knows that you have approved whatever limits, now that transaction can happen for you versus you just getting an email about it or a call about it saying, hey, you got this email, but I'm on this flight. I can't even respond to it. So I think that's a great use case, but it'll be so many. I think that'll build daily. I think it'll just be an endless amount of new use cases as well.
Yeah. So then your project, do you want to share a little bit about Unified AI?
So Unified AI will basically be a protocol for stringing all of this together. It's developer-centric, open source, so anybody can contribute. And there will be tokenized contributions. There will be I call it an operator economy, where if there's things that need to be outsourced or gig work, if you want to get a project done and you don't know how to do it, you vibe code it to the point where, all right, I'm done. I need to pass this off somewhere else. You can upload here and get bids on it. There'll be the concept of onboarding, offboarding, things that enterprise companies would need that they will have to bake into their workflows that an agent can do for them, but it'll be baked into a TLD. So basically, I'm turning the handles that we have into a platform as a service through the form of agents and LLMs.
Okay. So basically, the Handshake TLD domain would become a agent that you would talk to.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so because, and this is the cool part, it helps with persistence in the memory because everything's immutable. It's on a blockchain, it's logged. So that means you always almost got a seed of everything. And it helps every agent be able to know what's going on, when and where at the same time.
Nice. Okay. We do talk Amazon in this show a bit, and it's on my list. What's your whole take on, actually, I'm doing a mastermind next week in Samui. It's like 10 sellers, mostly Amazon. In myself, I'm still an established seller, a few brands. And even me as an Amazon seller is like, how can I use this for my Amazon? Or is it even, what do you think?
Endless ways, I think. So I don't know so much about the space of Amazon right now, but from what I do know, supply chain. I'd have agents with a camera inside wherever I'm getting sourcing that, if they'd allow that, so I can have checkpoints at certain places. Because I know once it gets to the warehouse, that's one thing, and you go through that. But once you open a box, if it's not what you need, if you don't have quality control on the ground, or if you're not checking it. Once I had a factory, I saw a lot of why things end up the way they end up. So you want to have as many checkpoints as possible. Turnover, people not making it this week that was making it last week, and things of that nature. I would have AI basically have you an ironclad contract to the point that where if anybody does anything outside of this, they're going to have so many fees they don't want to mess up. So I'd have the legal side. I'd have the keyword optimization for all my listings. I'd be able to know what's working in other countries that I can arbitrage that's doing well here. Like, I'd have it be my R&D at minimum.
I was saying I like the idea, but I feel like it might be hard to get a Chinese factory to agree to put a camera in their factory for me and my agents to monitor. But I think that's awesome if I could pull it off. Oh, you did say a little bit. Yeah, I wanted to go back. I did go back to that question, but I think I heard after that about quality control. And then you had said
contracts
and ironclad contracts. I got that.
I think the cameras would have been more for if you had your own factory. But a lot of times you can do a contract with the factories and have them do your own line. So say they have a staff of 300, you can pull 50 or 10 to the side and they'll do a line for you. And if you have that requirement for a spec, they'll put the camera there for you.
Okay. That's cool.
Especially if you're doing volume.
Yeah, I know my mind is like churning now, but yeah, there's so much to do, right?
Listen, I was the one over there having tea with them, asking them the most obnoxious questions. Can we do this? Come on, let me get some more. Come on.
More tea.
I wanted to know, like, where they would say no at? What was the hard no? And why was it a hard no? Can we turn that to a halfway year? What would make it a halfway year?
Well, I guess it's like you said earlier. If you're buying enough volume, it depends on how big of a customer you are, probably as well, for them to do some of those things. But I could see that. You're getting me thinking. Camera, AI agent connected to it. So then the agent's almost helping you monitor it and alerting you if there's something not right.
Yeah, or even right. If it's at every station, there's a milestone photo delivery requirement or something like that.
Okay. But I think still the problem with a lot of this is still, it is Amazon, but the problem about it is a lot of us wanted to do inside of Amazon, like PPC or listings or, and I feel like one of the big challenges is they have this thing called, I think, API, right? So if you want to do something in a application, most of the time you would need an API key. And I don't know if I know you've been out of it a little bit, but they're charging now $1,400 US a year for their API, Amazon. Really? Wow. Yeah. So I had finally gotten approved for it and it was such a pain in the butt. And then I feel like I just got approved and then they came out with this new policy. But there is a way to use the free one if you only use it for your own account, or I can't remember, and it's like really annoying and stupid, and I didn't have a chance. But yeah, we all got to get an API to do the inside Amazon stuff. And they're also freaking out about how you use their API, because they're making it sound scary, like they can ban you or something if you don't follow their terms of service of the API.
That's interesting. I have to figure out. I'll do some research, and the next time we talk, I'll see how the agents can
help. Okay. Like one thing we're doing, something small, is we want to adjust the daily bid, and they don't let you do that, as far as we know, in our team, to in the PPC. So we have the agent remote controlling the browser, and I hope I don't get in trouble for that. please don't ban me, man. Please.
I like my sign, right?
Yeah. Love it.
But all right, I think we're getting towards the end of our session here. Is there something you think we missed that you'd like to bring up? Again, I think the biggest one is a lot of sellers, if you know, there are business. I still think like most business owners are not technical enough yet, right? So their common question is, how can I use this now for something to help impact on my business?
I think the R&D, research and development, is your best friend. Whatever questions you would normally go to Google with, go to AI, then ask it. Go deeper, go down the rabbit hole. That if you're not getting a message that when you hit the play button after it hits a response, if it's not 4 minutes long, you're not asking the right questions.
Oh yeah, you do voice, right?
Yep.
I actually still am a text mostly, but you want to share about that? So you prefer voice, or you think it's better?
I'm brainstorming with AI most of the time, so I'm talking to it because it just takes too long to type what my message says. If I do type it, all right, so when I'm done talking, I have to scroll 3 times to see my message. So,
yeah, I'm still a writer. I think I've written a few books and long blogs. So the way I've been doing it is I put it in my morning writing.
Nice.
To write prompts. And say I want to do some task. It's not even different than a human, because that's how I even work with humans. I was messed up by humans. But I'll be like, I want to do this task. And I learned this a long time ago. I don't know, like 10, 15 years ago. Don't stress about it. Don't try to do something that came in your mind just now. Schedule it or put it in a list or document it. Get it out. Like, I think it was Evernote that I first started doing that back in 2008, 2009. And that kind of evolved to me in my morning writing, because I'm going to do that actually after this, because I started this show early. But I write all the different things I want to do today as prompts in text. And then I spend time after that to put the prompts into various LLMs. And I still write human tasks too. People like it to be clear. So I work with people, they want me to write it clear. So I write it clear, and now more and more I'm putting into AI of those write-ups. But yeah, to me, the audio, I've played with it, but the problem is it's too slow. When they start talking, they're slow.
You got to listen to it. I'm going to send you my templates, because it gives me straight, it cuts out the part I don't like, and then most times I'm skimming what I read as I'm listening. But I do notes too, because I got notebooks all day long. But I usually jot down as I'm listening the further part of that idea, and then I go back into it with a conversation.
You were saying you have notebooks and notes, and then you were saying like that's about where I lost you.
So I do the notes, but then I go back for the further part of it just to take it down and put it into a format that I can copy paste. Like it like reiterates what I say, and I build on that once I can hear it back. It's kind of like I'm talking to myself.
Yeah. I've seen some tweets on people saying they're talking to all these agents, and you're just basically you're like talking almost to yourself in a way, because you're like, I've been doing that too. You're like just talking to this one and that one and that one, and then you're like, wait, these are all like not real.
Yeah.
People. It's nuts, man. Really,
sometimes you got to hear it out loud to know if it's good or not, or if it's needing to be refined, or if it's okay. That's it.
Okay. Great, man. So let's wrap up. It's fascinating, but I think you're basically, just to summarize, we also cut out once or twice there, but you think the main value for an Amazon seller would be the R&D, research and development, like product development, product brainstorming, product research, which I agree with. I'm also playing with it to make product ideas and lists and even supply chain sourcing, things like that.
I'll give you this one. I saw this interview back in 2012 on Mixergy.com. Andrew Warner asking a young lady about, she was selling hair extensions. And she looked up or saw that the keyword trends for feathers and hair extensions was a standout. And it didn't have, it had low competition. So she took that and turned that to six figures a month just from that one keyword. So I would use AI in that sense. Like, what can I get to tweak one small thing and add to my listing that makes it pop that nobody else is paying attention to? Like little hacks like that. But it'll be like bringing back gems. Medici Effect. Franz Johansson wrote that book. And he's talking about this architect that had to build this building in Egypt, I think. And it couldn't have AC or heat, but it had to stay at 68 degrees Fahrenheit. And he looked at the ants and how they did tunnels underground and built that same building with the same ventilation system. It didn't have to use AC or heat, but he borrowed from other places, my point. And so use the agents in that sense. I would do that. The out the brain, the out the box stuff. Purple cow.
Yeah, Seth Godin. Yeah, Purple cow. All right, man. I really appreciate you coming on the show. And I think your site might be ready when this show goes live. We can link in the notes. Or do you want to shout out any websites or places people can find you or what you're working on?
Yeah, the site will be live Monday. It'll be for sure register.aiagents. Or you can visit, I haven't figured out the one for Unified AI, but it'll probably be, I can't figure out what to put in front of that. I got some options, but I don't know yet.
We'll put it in the show notes. I'll definitely make sure you get to Ann or I. And everyone says, thanks for presenting. Yeah, again,
thank you.
This was fun. I hope it was all right in our pilot live show. I got some ideas and there's definitely some innovation happening here and I'm excited to see it develop. So keep us posted.
Wow, what a conversation. From surviving a Stripe freeze after prepaying an entire factory in Yiwu, to building unified AI, an open marketplace where narrow, fine-tuned agents, handshake domains, and human operators come together like a decentralized Yiwu for the agentic economy. Irv gave us so many practical takeaways. How to work directly with banks instead of aggregators. Why you should build relationships with payment provider leadership. And how multi-agent systems plus structured workflows could transform everything from quality control in your factory to Amazon keyword arbitrage and beyond.
If you're an advanced e-commerce operator tired of single points of failure, whether in payments, platforms, or even AI tools, this episode is pure gold. Thanks so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this, hit subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a fellow global entrepreneur who needs to hear it. Remember, the full live experience and future episodes is streaming at globalfromanywhere.com/TV. Our first official Global From Anywhere TV show is happening now. Until next time, forge your own path from anywhere. We'll see you in the next one.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromanywhere.com. That's www.globalfromanywhere.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.